From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for June 18th. Iris, June 18th. The morning read 10 things in health worth the 8 minutes. Let's get into it. First, from Healing the Source, why you have morning sickness and what to asterisk do about it. In my pre-trying to conceive era, with a million pregnant friends and as a Virgo, I have been doing a crazy amount of research about all things pregnancy. And one thing I am especially researching is morning sickness. Most of my pregnant friends experienced morning sickness, although it's not just the morning, it's more like all day hell. It is brutal, and on my mom's side of the family, every single woman experienced debilitating morning sickness while pregnant. Needless to say, it concerns me, so I want to be as prepared as possible and maybe, just maybe, mitigate the symptoms, though I know it's not always possible. It's worth a try. So, here is everything non-medical that I have gathered that can potentially help alleviate morning sickness symptoms. Morning sickness affects around 70% of pregnancies. Symptoms typically start around week 6, peak between weeks 8 and 10, and for most women, begin to ease around week 13 when the second trimester begins. We are talking nausea, vomiting, heartburn, food aversions, motion sickness, and general digestive chaos at any time of day or night. The conventional explanation is hormones, but the more specific explanation, and the one that has completely reframed how I think about this, is histamine. Here is what is happening in the body during early pregnancy. Elevated hormones trigger increased histamine production in the mother. The placenta produces its own histamine, up to 1,000 times more than any other organ in the body. Next, second, from Lindsay Max Complexity Edge. Your burnout feels better, so why can't you work? Burnout isn't a character flaw, it's a real shift in how your nervous system operates. After prolonged stress, the brain learns that the old pace triggers fatigue, so it starts shutting down to protect you. That's why you can feel a brief spark of normalcy. Sleep improves. Thoughts settle yet the moment you try to dive back into work, the system hits a hard stop. It's not willpower failing, it's the nervous system sending a clear warning that the previous tempo is no longer sustainable. The practical takeaway is to treat that warning as data, not guilt. Scale back, build rhythm slowly, and give your brain the space to recalibrate before expecting full productivity again. Up next, third, from Off-Grid with Marjorie Wildcroft. Treating infections without antibiotics. I apologize for the low resolution, but I couldn't upload the full vid. This video is in full high res on the legacy drive in the folder /TGN specialty video /treating infections without antibiotics. But even without the resolution, you'll get what you need from this. This video is especially for Greg. Greg Adams was a big help in my recent move. During lunch we got to talk. He and his wife are nurses who basically lost their jobs because they didn't want to get vaccinated. And then, fourth, from Tell Me Three Good Things, 17 June 2026 /Three Good Things, Wednesday, safe travels to and from Rockville, a safe, comfortable, reliable car to drive. Felix has a lot of pep in his step this evening, and it's a joy to see. Pam invited us to sit on her porch tonight with a group of neighbors, and it was so nice. Now you, tell me three good things? So, next, fifth, from the Macars Community by MastCell 360. Practitioner tip, the most common roadblocks to healing, environmental triggers to consider with Macars. Hello, MC360 friends. If you've done a lot of the right things and you're still reacting, this post is for you. Because some of the most common roadblocks we see in the clinic aren't something people are eating or taking. It's something they're living in. With Macars, healing includes your whole picture. 6th, from Healthful Radiance, I'm freaking out over these jumbo brownie batter bites recipe from today's reel. 1 cup creamy salted peanut butter, 1/4 cup maple syrup, 1/2 cup chocolate protein powder of choice. I love this one for all of my healthy treats. 1/4 cup cacao powder, 1 cup almond flour. Pinch of sea salt chocolate chips /chunks for mixing in. 1/2 cup chocolate chips /chunks. 1 tablespoon creamy salted peanut butter. Add the peanut butter and maple syrup to mixing bowl. Whisk to combine until smooth and sticky. Add the protein powder, cacao powder, almond flour, and sea salt. Mix together until a uniform batter forms. Environmental triggers like mold, water quality, air quality, and chemicals used in cleaning or body products all add to the daily load your body must handle. And when you are trying to detox and heal, adding more to that pile means more work for a body that is already overwhelmed. Up next, and then, 7th, from MedPage Today, 4-year data confirm anifrolumab efficacy in lupus. in the pivotal Phase 3 registration trials, patients with systemic lupus erythematosus were randomized to anifrolumab or placebo and then followed for 4 years. The long-term data show that the drug consistently kept hemoglobin, platelet counts and complement levels steadier than placebo, and fewer participants needed high-dose steroids. Beyond the lab numbers, patients on anifrolumab reported modest but durable reductions in joint pain, skin rash and fatigue measured by standard disease activity scores. The benefit held up across the diverse subgroups enrolled, suggesting the effect isn't limited to a narrow population. Safety remained comparable to earlier reports, infection rates were slightly higher but manageable, and no new serious adverse events emerged. Overall, the evidence supports anifrolumab as a lasting option for lupus patients who need more than conventional therapy. Next, 8th, from MedPage Today, FDA approves PTSD device, GLP-1s for ADHD, probiotics and geriatric depression. The FDA cleared Wave Neurosciences MedRT system for PTSD after a modest open-label trial showed about a 30% drop in symptom scores, so the evidence is still early but promising enough for clearance. Separately, a meta-analysis of observational data on GLP-1 receptor agonists drugs usually used for diabetes found a small but consistent improvement in ADHD-related attention and hyperactivity measures. Though no large randomized trials exist yet, a recent double-blind RCT tested a probiotic blend in adults over 65 with depression. The active group improved by roughly 2 points on a standard mood scale compared with placebo, a modest effect. Bottom line, the PTSD device is cleared but needs more rigorous testing. GLP-1s look interesting for ADHD but are far from standard care. Probiotics may help geriatric depression, but the benefit is limited. Up next, 9th, from MedPage Today. Modern neuroimaging, what's changing brain tumor care? The roundtable stressed that advanced MRI, especially perfusion, diffusion tensor imaging, and high-resolution 7-tesla scans are now being woven into routine brain tumor workups. The strongest data come from a prospective cohort of 120 patients that showed these sequences improved tumor border definition by roughly 15% compared with standard MRI. And a recent meta-analysis of 5 smaller studies echoed a modest boost in surgical planning accuracy. Clinicians say the added detail helped neurosurgeons target resection more precisely, but they also note the technology still needs larger trials to confirm long-term outcome benefits. For now, the takeaway is that the imaging toolbox is expanding, and patients at centers with these capabilities may see slightly more tailored surgeries. And then, 10th, from MedPage Today, short-acting opioids for withdrawal may keep patients from leaving hospital early. Treating opioid withdrawal with short-acting opioids, think more or hydromorphone, was linked to fewer patients leaving the hospital on their own. The researchers looked back at a large cohort of adults admitted for any reason who were also started on medication for opioid use disorder. They compared those who got a brief opioid taper for withdrawal with those who didn't, adjusting for age, severity of illness, and other meds. Each additional milligram of short-acting opioid was associated with a modest drop in the odds of a patient-directed discharge, suggesting a dose-dependent benefit. Because the study is observational, we can't say the opioids caused the change, but the pattern held after accounting for many confounders. It does hint that offering a short, controlled opioid bridge might keep patients in care long enough to start longer-acting treatments like buprenorphine. If you're working in a hospital setting, consider a brief, carefully dosed opioid taper as part of withdrawal management. It's not a magic bullet, but the data suggest it could reduce early departures and give patients a better chance to engage with ongoing addiction care. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow.